When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 860. We're the Fight Disciples. This is your MMA review from the weekend just gone. Lots to get stuck into from the Apex. The big boys were on show with Tai Tuivasa and Marcin Tybura going at it. But if you are tuning in and you've only tuned into this show, not our boxing show, you can see that my man here is a little bit under the weather. Look at him here. He's got his hood up. If you're watching it on YouTube, he's suffering. He's got his medicine out. That's right. He's been on the ice cream all weekend because his throat's hurting. Isn't it, pal? What's up with you?
Got tonsillitis.
Why you? That's what I love, right? When people are genuinely ill, or have a little bit of illness about them, they turn the illness up to like 100. Fake voice. You can speak normally. Me and you have just done a boxing show and you've spoken normally for an hour. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I'm not too good today. I'm not coming in.
This is just in case anyone's only listening to the MMA show. I want them to know how ill I am and the sacrifices I'm making right now to bring this award-winning content while I'm on the besties.
Well, listen, before we talk about the actual fights that took place at the weekend, there's obviously big developments news-wise, fights being made and all this type of stuff that I wanted to talk about, right? Firstly, we said it on last week's build-up, the preview show. It is down to two fighters for 301 to face Alexandre Pantoja. You now know who it is. Discuss Steve Urseg.
Wow.
He's going to get into the title shot.
Of course. And listen, it's all about putting the right win run together at the right time, you know, and that big knockout, we talk about it all the time. So, you know, when there isn't a clear contender, this is an opportunity when the guys were ranked, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, especially when the champion's beaten most of the people in the top five, to suddenly go, right, watch what I can do then. Goes in there, smashes the guy, knocks him out, gives the UFC an opportunity to dip further down into the rankings. So even though I think Mo Mokhiev was probably undoubtedly ahead of Usyk in the conversation, I think when Mo comes through in the manner in which he did and Usyk gets a quick knockout, it's easier to sell the knockout guy. And I'm not hating on it either. I don't think Mo is quite ready yet anyway. So I think Mo against Roy Val in a final eliminator, which is all the noise that Mo is making, absolutely that makes sense anyway. So I've got no issue with that whatsoever. Usyk needs a shot.
Yeah, listen, I don't hate it. I love Rocky Balboa stories. Usyk's burst onto the scene. He's delivered twice, one emphatically against Schnell. Yeah. And like I said, it was a case of it being between two guys. The facts are, though, Mo Mokhaev has got more finishes in the UFC than Steve Usyk's had fights.
Yeah,
he's, you know, four finishes through six fights. Yes, the last one might not necessarily have lit up and lit the blue touch paper for people to get that excited about him fighting for a title. But out of the two options, he is, on paper, the better option. It just goes to prove that you've got to deliver. You've got to deliver. When the key moment comes, you've got to deliver in order to capture the imagination of people. I personally don't think it's a bad thing that Mo has another fight before he challenges for the title.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Steve Usyk, given what I've seen of Alexandre Pantoja recently, I think Alexandre Pantoja might take care of him, especially with being in Brazil and especially with it being one of the main attractions and a champion there, of course. You look around the rest of the division, yes, there are guys higher ranked than Steve Usyk, but Pantoja's beaten most of them. And the other viable option would have been Roy Val, but Roy Val has just come off the back of a loss to Pantoja. So again, in what you've just said, I don't hate that this is on the card. And I don't hate that they went with Usyk over Mo. obviously, I'm disappointed for Moore. It would have been great to see him fight for a world title. But I do think, beat Roy Val, you're in the driving seat.
Yeah, and what you've just said, Dale, exactly right. It would have been great to see him fight for a world title. We ain't going to Rio. There's no plans to go to Rio. So there's more chance of us getting them to see Mo fight for that world title outside of Rio. So I'm not hating on it at all from personal reasons.
But... that's just purely selfish.
Yeah, of course,
well, I haven't got a flight booked to 301.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not that bothered. But then, you know, you've also got to think about the fact that Amir El-Barzi is still in this conversation. This injury couldn't have come at a worse time for him. Because he must have got the call before Asig got the call. And obviously he's ruled himself out for whatever reason. Manel Cap probably got the call as well. So there's a few phone calls I'm sure were made before they got down to Steve Asig. But I get why Steve Asig's getting it. Want to know why this guy's fighting for the title? Boom. Check out what he just did to Machnell.
Listen, he could do to this division what Sean Strickland did to middleweight, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine if he did it. Imagine
just
if he did
it like a tornado. Yeah,
and then the whole division's just in flux, because the majority of us now would look at this and go, Steve Ersig, he's just burst into the UFC, he's coming off that knockout to Schnell, he hasn't been at this level before, he's going to find out against Alexander Pantoja. What if he beat Pantoja? Then all of a sudden the division's like, oh well, nobody saw this coming, what the hell? What do we do now? This could be mad.
Strickland going down under to beat Izzy, just like Ersig going down to Brazil to beat the Brazilian champion. Stranger things have happened, kids. Honestly, don't bet against it. Do not bet against it.
We spoke about this 301 card. I see the online chatter from fans. Obviously, 299, sensational. 300, sensational. You look at 301, and because of obviously pulling Alex Pereira towards 300 as the main event, you kind of lose your main attraction, your sexiness, I suppose, of your 301 main event. Pantoja's in there now, and he's taking on Steve Ersig. You look down that card, there's a bit of British interest. I'm so into Kyle Perrallo against Paul Craig, and obviously Jack Shaw's on there as well. All great stuff. From our point of view, great stuff. But does it have the sex factor? Does it have the wow factor? No, it doesn't. It does now, ladies and gentlemen, because they've made the call, haven't they? Bring, bring. Excuse me, Mr. King of Rio. I know that. I know that it's over. Yeah, but we've got a bit of a problem. We're coming to Brazil. We need some star factor, my friend. Fancy it? Go on then. You're twisting my arm. Yeah, go on. I'll have a go. Jose Aldo's back, kiddos. I'm in, man. It's Jose Aldo, and he's fighting in Brazil, for crying out loud. I'm in. Come on.
It just surprises me that they've gone the direction of the opponents. Jonathan Martinez just surprises me, when they could have picked a Dominic Cruz or a Henry Cejudo or a Pedro Munhoz, you know, a bit more of a veteran. It surprises me they've gone down a Jonathan Martinez route. Maybe those other guys are not available or whatever, but you're right. That's what it feels like. It feels like, wait a minute, we've lost our main attraction. Yeah. How do we get this Rio crowd bought in again? Right. Ring the guy.
Jose.
Ring Scarface.
Get Jose a ring.
Get him in here now.
And he's just gone.
I'm sure he's been boxing recently. I'm sure he's been boxing.
Yeah, yes. And he's been doing well. He's been doing well. So how much, lads? How many notes do you want me to put on this, Jose? Just stick them notes on and I will be wherever you want me to be. No problem whatsoever. I'm in. You know, we're all big Jose Aldo fans. Anybody that's into MMA is a Jose Aldo fan.
Of course.
Come on, man. Let's go. Let's get this train back on the track. All steam ahead now for Rio.
Slap it straight on the main card. Away we go.
That's it. That's it. Now then, still not talking about fights yet. I'm still talking about social media interactions, because Colby Covington, Ian Garry. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. What is going on, kids? So Ian Garry calls out Colby Covington. He wants to fight him. Yeah? Well, hang on a minute.
Great call out.
Well, let's go back actually to him and that ridiculous press conference where Colby Covington said those abhorrent things about Leon Edwards and his family and what have you, yeah? In that same presser, he made a comment about Ian Garry and Ian Garry's wife, didn't he? He asked the crowd a question. Crowd obviously got on board with Colby Covington. Ian Gary responded by calling him out. Great call out, as you said. Colby Covington then gets on a yacht and goes in, doesn't he? And makes some, what was it, three stipulations that are all non-fight related, all social media related about...
You've got to come back on your socials. You can't turn off your messages. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? The stipulations are weird. And then obviously the third and final one is that...
Was it Layla being involved in some video or something with Colby or something like that?
Something like that.
Listen, he's part of the bear. You're rattling a cage, man, aren't you? You know what I mean? You're obviously creating interest social media-wise. You're selling it. If it gets Colby Covington into the octagon with Ian Gary, let's go, man.
Yeah,
Ian Gary obviously responded. I think it was yesterday that I saw the video for the first time. Apologies if it came out earlier. I saw it yesterday.
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
And he went to his social media. And I think it was a fantastic response from him. Fantastic response. Said, listen, man, you've had your ass kicked in all these title fights. You haven't beaten anybody in the top 15. With all due respect to Ian Gary, he's right to say... Actually, what's in this for me beating you? You ain't done anything really at the top level. But I want to put you in your place because of the things that you've said about my missus and my family. I think, obviously, I don't want this to go too far like Colby did last time. Maybe it's gone too far already with some of the things that he said. My thing now is sign the contract, man. Make that fight happen.
It's William Gary's. Counter stipulations are the loser quits. The loser of the fight leaves MMA forever. That's what he said. Loser leaves town.
Did it? I thought the stipulation was him, we fight until someone quits. That's what I thought he said.
No, but then he said at the end of the fight, whoever loses MMA, quits the sport forever. Never to be seen again. Let's do that fight. Let's have that stipulation. Now that's a proper stipulation. That's a proper stipulation which goes, right, okay, sound. Put that into the contract. The loser will never fight in MMA again. Let's have that conversation. I think it was a brilliant counter for me and Gary, a ballsy counter, but a brilliant counter and a realistic one. Why do you care whether my social media channels are switched on for comments or not? Why are you obsessing over my wife? It's got nothing to do with you. Let's talk about fighting. Let's make a proper fighting consequence to our fight. Okay, loser quits the sport. I'll agree to it. I'm putting it on the table. Let's see how ballsy you are, Colby. I thought it was a great counter. A lovely counter. Let's see where Colby Covington comes from now.
Just sign. Stop talking now. I've seen enough. Sign. Next thing I want to see is the UFC flashing it up. There you go, kids. Colby Covington and Ian Gary are fighting each other. And they're doing it in Brazil. Because Ian Gary's from Brazil now, technically, isn't he? You know what I mean? Well, and everybody in Brazil hates Colby Covington. Perfect. there's your fight. Oh, great stuff. Now, at the weekend, Apex was the destination for a lot of fights. Tatu Ivasa and Marcin Dybura were in the main event. And it just played out exactly as previous fights have started playing out for Tatu Ivasa. It's like... Yeah,
there's a blueprint now, isn't there?
So, right. He likes it. He's confident there. He likes it there. Standing up, throwing some hands. Yeah. You go, or he goes, Ty's in his absolute element. And for 1 minute, you're looking at the fight going, looking all right, Ty. Sound, I know you've lost your last three, but it's okay, man. We're looking good here. This is nice. Then all of a sudden, Marcin Dybura goes to him, hang on a minute, I'm not playing this silly game with you, lad. Let me get hold of you. Gets hold of him, puts him on the mat, and he looks like a completely different fighter, Tatu Ivasa. Really, I don't want to belittle Ty's ground game, but just basic stuff.
Just listening to Bisping and Dominic Cruz talk it through on the commentary team, they did it better than I could ever do it here. Just doing the describing, saying he's got to drop that left leg down now straight and slip his hips out. Like, this is not rocket science. What we're telling him to do now is not rocket science. A guy that's ranked in the top 10, even though it is heavyweight, and I know heavyweights are fundamentally flawed, well, most of them are anyway, apart from maybe one or two right at the very top. But the in any other weight division, a guy with glaring holes in his game just does not get this far in the sport. You do not get, or even a girl, you don't get this high up the rankings in any other weight class with this kind of hole in your game. It's hard to watch because we love Taito Abasa. Yeah, he's one of the coolest. Not only is he one of the most entertaining, but he's one of the coolest guys in the sport. We've had drinks with this guy in Paris. He's a diamond of a guy. But unfortunately, if you can't get up off your back, I spoke about it on Thursday on the preview show. I'm like, all these Kiwi guys and these Polynesian guys with the tattoos and the big power, the Taffers and all this kind of stuff, the Mark Hunts and everybody, they're super entertaining to watch. Yes, they're one-punch knockout artists, but they're effectively turtles. Put them on the back, they can't get up. And Ty proved it again at the weekend. As soon as Ty Ball had him on his back, had him on the ground, he didn't have the fundamentals to be able to get back to his feet. Too often making silly, rudimentary mistakes. And Ty Border, all you got to do then is be patient. At some point, he's either gonna completely be on his back and allow you to throw ground and pound. And if he gets up, he's gonna give you his back. In which case, you just put a submission in. That's what Ty Border did. What's that now for Ty? 0-4.
Yeah. And all stopped. He's been stopped in 0-4.
It's not good.
No, it isn't good. Thing is, I look at the matchup and I look at the fight of what destinations people can now go towards. I don't know where Marcin Tybura really goes off the back of the victory either. I said last week, it's a kind of a fight for relevance, isn't it? You're kind of fighting to stay relevant to get yourself solid fights within the top 10 of the heavyweight division. I think Tybura does that. I don't think it propels him any closer to anything major, but it'll get him a solid heavyweight contest up next, no doubt. I don't know where Ty goes. Don't know where he goes.
No. Well, he goes out the top 10, that's for sure. I know Ty Borla's ranked just below him, but I think when you're losing four straight, it wouldn't surprise me if he dropped out of there.
What did you make of the co-main event?
Very strange indeed. Very strange. The old eye poker. Scraping the back of his brain. They shaped up quite nicely at first.
Yeah.
And I like that Brian battle. And I liked Angelusa. And I was like, okay, these are two guys that really shouldn't be in a co-main event, even at the Apex, because you're not quite there yet. So you've got to do something to justify why you're here. And then when it gets stuck with the eye poke, and I'm just like, for fuck's sake, you guys, what the fuck? So it was just a weird play out of events. In fact, some of the earlier bits on this card, we'll talk about the weight cutting and everything in a sec. It was a weird moment, even for the Apex, which is often home to weird moments.
Yeah. And then obviously these two kick off afterwards, we have a no contest.
Yeah,
these two then start kicking off in the octagon, don't they? Where I think I've seen a post-fight interview with Brian Battle, and I think he called Angelusa a pussy. I think he's called him. And Angelusa's obviously responded to that. But you stuck your finger
in his eye, like,
to the back of his head. You know what I mean? Anyway, it is what it is. OSP rolling it back, man. What's going on here? OSP and Kennedy Zichiq, at times, I'm watching, especially in the third, I'm watching this, and obviously we're talking two tired lads now once we get to the third. I kind of like barroom brawls sometimes. I kind of like it when you're knackered, two lads are just standing up. I'm not going to shoot for out here. Not going to bother.
Yeah, it's just wing.
You swing, I swing. You swing, I just like that. Plod, swing, 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 jab. Swing right, and it was just thoroughly entertaining, mate. It was a fight based purely on heart, will, guts, determination. Are we going to the end? Are we not going to the end? Is someone going over? Is someone not going over? Obviously, OSP landed a great shot against Kennedy, which I think swayed it in his favour. I'm happy for him, OSP. What is he, 40 years of age now? Still going strong. 600 fights deep in the UFC. Been to the top of the tree. He's just here because he loves it. Yeah. And he's still doing it. He's still pulling out victories against the up-and-coming cats. So fair play to him.
He baffles me. He really does. He baffles me, OSP, because you think he's done. You think he's gone. You think he's, you know, he's been ready for Bellator for years. And yeah, really is still plugging away in UFC, still getting big wins, still getting wins on main cards like this. Kennedy will go away. He'll kick himself, obviously, like so many guys who OSP does beat in the past, because you make fundamental mistakes and he's going to capitalize on it. But the fact that he's still throwing down at this stage of his life is absolutely mental. And he's picking up records along the way, isn't he? He's got like a tied for Anderson Silva with most wins at light heavyweight or whatever it was. And they're putting up all these stats and I'm just like, this is mental. This is absolutely, and maybe that was Gerard Meerschaert actually. But yeah, he's been around forever, OSP. I think he's just going to fight forever. He's a bit like, what's his name? Isn't he, the big heavyweight, the Pitbull, the former champ. He's a bit like Jim Miller. Yeah, a bit like Jim Miller as well. Jesus Christ. Just going to stick around forever.
Did you see the Corey McKenna fight, by the way?
I've seen Corey, yes. I've lost your visual, by the way. You're still here. I can hear you, but I can't see you. There we go.
Apologies. Oh, apologies. Look at that. I changed my camera. I didn't even notice that. What's the bloody hell's going on here?
Yeah. I tell you what, it was a good fight, that Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Dulgarian. That was a proper fight. They absolutely knocked seven bells out of one another. I was surprised that didn't get fight of the night, actually. Rodriguez, I'm a big fan of course, because he's come through and they just seem to be lining him up with young prospects with unbeaten records. And he's swaying through them all. And he got another one here in Dulgarian who looked like super talented. Dulgarian comes in, ragdolls Rodriguez everywhere for the first round. And you're like, Kinnell, who is this guy? Because C-Rod is the guy that's been doing it to other people. But then Rodriguez come back into it in the second. Thought that was a really close fight. I just edged it towards Christian Rodriguez. And I thought Rodriguez then went on and won the third round. But in fact, I'd give Dulgarian a 10-8 in round one. I give C-Rod a 10-9, very close 10-9 in two. And I give C-Rod a 10-8 in three. So I scored two 10-8 rounds out of three, one each way. So the deciding round was Rodriguez for me, just edging it in round number two. Great fight.
Whilst you were talking there, mate, that stat that you were saying a minute ago, that's what I was looking for online. Anderson Silva has been the sole leader in the UFC middleweight stoppage wins since he last put someone away in the weight class nearly 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It stood unthreatened since the second round TKO, since his second round TKO of Chael Sonnen in the historic 148 match in 2012. But it has finally come to an end. And you are right in what you said a moment or two ago. Gerard Meerschaert is now the holder of that with his second round submission of Brian Barberena. Congratulations to him. There you go. He's got, he's just taken Anderson Silva's record. Look at you with the stats coming out with something big there on the program. When you said it, I was like going, what's that? So I've just had a quick, whilst you were chatting there, I just had a quick nosy online and I found it. There you go, mate. Sensational.
34. Oh, unbelievable. 34 finishes in 36 career wins for Meerschaert. 28 of them by submission. Like, that's some skill set that he's got there. Mm. I think a lot of people will always remember him for his, you know, getting absolutely iced in about 10 seconds against Hamza. And that's harsh on a man because he's existed. Okay, he's fallen short at the highest level on too many occasions. But Meerschaert's a legit grappler, man. Absolutely legit, as those submissions suggest. And when you're beaten... Okay, listen, Brian Barberena, former lightweight, turned welterweight. now middleweight. Just a just a fucking big hard case from the deep south or whatever with the full long hair. Just loves a fight, basically, and has decided, I ain't going to be UFC champion, so I ain't cutting weight no more. I'll just turn up and rock it out. But Mayor Schultz was far too talented for him on the ground. Great submission. Face cranked him.
Ugly. Did you... Yeah, well, sorry, whilst I was looking for that stat, obviously I did ask you a second ago about Cori McKenna. We were excited about seeing her do her thing, weren't we? She's been out the space for... Well, she didn't fight in 2023. First time out for best part of 15 months coming in.
Yeah.
And it didn't last too long, man. We were saying, weren't we? Like, obviously she's gone away, maybe grown up a touch, rounded that game out, been working on some of the deficiencies... And within, what was it, 90 seconds, she's getting her arm pulled off. I felt for her because you could see how gutted and upset she was that I don't think anybody plans for that, for a fight to play out the way that it played out for her.
Of course.
But she's still looking incredibly raw. And that's a tough one, man. When you've been out for, what, 14, 15 months, you bounce back in, you think, right, I'm ready. And you get done. In the first, 90 seconds? Don't know where she goes.
Yeah, it's hard. She's made a lot of sacrifices moving out to the US and being based at Team Alpha Male, having a year off last year for various reasons. And you think when you come back, you're like, right, I'm reborn now. I'm ready to go again. You know, I'm ready to really put this winning run together, and I've got aspirations to become a UFC champion, Wales' first UFC champion. You know, I'm ticking all the boxes, doing everything I need to do, making the sacrifices to realize my ambitions and my dreams. Then you get in there with a girl that within 60 seconds is fucking ripping your arm off. You know, I think it was 90 seconds when the attack came. It's tough. It's tough, man, but that's MMA. So many ways to win and lose. You think you've got it licked, and she's a cruel mistress. And yeah, I didn't watch that fight live. I actually watched the rest of the card, and then I went back to find Corey's fight, and I was devastated for her, absolutely gutted for her. But unfortunately, mate, this is the fucking sport, isn't it? So yeah, it's gonna be hard for her now. If she thought that having a year off was tough, having this hanging over her head now is going to be really difficult. Can she bounce back? Absolutely. Is it going to be an easy road back?
20
is
it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you're getting your arm ripped off in 90 seconds on a card that's on the apex, it doesn't hold you in good stead with that, with the UFC. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a kid that...
Well, she ain't going to get no layups now, is she? That's the problem. No. You don't get no layups. Then it's like, right, okay. Well, now you're that girl. You're that girl who faces brand new people coming into the UFC who we don't yet know how good are. You're going to be that person, the gatekeeper, and you lose a couple of them, you ain't in the UFC anymore. So it's going to be a tough road back for her.
Yes. Now,
one thing I do want to talk about is the people who miss weight.
Okay.
So there was three people on the prelims at the Apex that miss weight on Friday. You had Nathan Levy, who missed the 156, you know, extra pound weight at lightweight. He weighed in 156.5 and was fined 20% of his purse. He ended up getting stopped by submission against Mike Davis. Sound. Chelsea Chandler, she weighed 137. She was a pound over the 136 limit. She lost 20% of her purse. She actually went out there and she won a points decision, Chelsea Chandler. Again, it's a pound. Sound, man. That for me, that is missing weight. Half a pound over, a pound over. You've messed up, you've missed weight. With the girls as well, I think that's to be a separate conversation to say, well, where are you right now? Time of the month, physically, emotionally, everything else. Women retain water differently from men, so maybe the allowance should be more of a pound. I don't know. The one I've got issue with is Danny Silver. So Danny Silver weighs in at 148.5. That's 2.5 pounds over the featherweight non-title limit. 2.5 pounds. For me, that's a massive advantage. That's an advantage that, for me, says, you haven't been up all night cutting weight. You haven't been in the steam room getting those last few pounds off. You haven't been, you know, in a red hot bath with salt and everything to get those pounds off. You have failed to make weight. You have not missed weight. You've failed to make weight. So his penalty was the same as the other two. 20% of your purse goes to your opponent. Then Difference gets in there and wins on a split decision. Now, this is where I think the difference needs to come in. The UFC needs to introduce a limitation, a percentage limitation on how much you can be overweight. Half a pound, you fucked up, you missed weight, 20% of your purse. Anything above a pound, pound and a half, 2.5 pounds, nah, man, that's not missing weight. You failed to make weight. You're taking a point off at the start of the fight. I think this has to become the rule. Take a point off. The referee should go, right, round one, before we start, give us your hand. Point off, point off, point off. Weight failure. Back to your corner. Start the fight. And actually, he'd have lost the fight because of that point off here, had it played out the same way, because he won it again on a split decision. I don't think it's fair on Josh Koulibal that, oh, I'll get 20% of your purse. Well, guess what? You're fighting Danny Silva, who's had, I mean, 1-2 fights in the UFC. He's probably on about 6-6. So you're going to get, well, about 1,200 quid off him. How is that going to make any difference? You could have doubled your money if you got the win. I think the UFC have got to look at this more stringently. It's happening consistently, not just on big shows. In fact, the Apex shows are even worse for it. You've got to be, especially when fighters, again, maybe there's a conversation going, right, you're taking a fight at 2 weeks' notice. The fail to miss weight thing, we won't take a point off, but there's got to be a certain, there's got to be more of a conversation with these athletes. If you get more than 6 weeks' notice for any fight, you are contractually obliged to make that weight. If you miss that weight, i.e. by a pound, pound and a half maximum, you're losing a percentage of your purse if the guy wants the fight. If you're more than that, basically the fight ain't happening and you're getting a loss on your record unless your opponent agrees, right, he's going to start with a point off. All right, Sam, go on then, yeah, I'll have that. Otherwise, I go, right, you know, it's going to count as a loss because you're contractually obliged to make it. No other sport could you do that? Go, oh, yeah, I agree. We'll meet on this day and we'll play like that. Sound like being a Champions League final and going, yeah, we're putting 13 on the pitch today. Hey, can't fucking do that. It's 11 asides. No, we're playing 13 today. Oh, well, you owe them a 50 grand then. Sound. It's like load of gloves. Bullshit. UFC need to get a grip of it. And we're here. Start the conversation and keep it going.
I agree. To finish off the show, I'm really surprised that you've not mentioned this already, actually. Do you know what I'm going to refer to?
You're going to talk about Mo Mokhiev getting disqualified at the Manchester Jiu-Jitsu Championships yesterday, or are we going to leave that
nice
one?
That's nice. it is something away. That's technically away from the UFC. I know it's a UFC fighter. But he's in a different competition. I'm going to refer, I'll give you the clue, Cage Warriors.
Double header, wasn't it?
Yeah. Your favourite fighter, Luke Riley, man, doing Luke Riley things.
Doing Luke Riley things, yeah. I actually did watch the fight as well.
To be fair, I reckon if you wouldn't have been ill, you'd have probably gone to this because every man and his dog was in attendance on Saturday night in Manchester. I was just looking at his we awarded him last year. He got Breakthrough Fighter of the Year in 2022, didn't he? Fighter of the Year 23, Fighter of the Year in 23, and on Saturday night he rocks up in Manchester and fucking dishes it out again. The dude is an absolute lunatic. It's not going to be too long before with all due respect to Cage Warriors, the big show calls because this dude is guaranteed absolute fireworks. Every single time he steps inside a cage,
he's sensational. Honestly, he's absolutely sensational. I know a few people that from Liverpool, obviously, that went up there because it was a double header. It was Friday night and Saturday night. Friday night, they had a bit of like a Cage Warriors Next Gen card on. They had the same venue, and then on a Saturday night, they had a full Cage Warriors event on with the light heavyweight championship was the main event. But I went and watched Luke's fight, and it listen in a 10-fight unbeaten run, littered with highlight reel fucking incredible moments. It maybe wasn't a fight of the year contender like we used to, but still, There's times in the fight where Luke Riley, who's winning comfortably, doing amazing things, just suddenly goes, right, just curl me toes into this canvas, spit on either knuckle, boom, let's have it, Mr. Jesus. And the two of them would just throw down. It was absolutely insane. There's something in Luke Riley's mind, whereas he won't allow himself to win a fight too easily. He's got to put a show on. He's like, oh, everyone's come up. Everyone's bought a ticket to see the Luke Riley show. The human highlight reel. The Scouse highlight reel. You're going to get some highlights.
I knew you'd make a Scouse going down, man.
Fucking mental. Absolutely mental.
I'm just looking at the possibility of whether they could put him in for the title. I think it makes sense, man. I don't know why they... Maybe next time, I think they should stick him in there and let's see what the crack is, because he's a massive commodity, isn't he? People are all in on him. He's selling tickets. He's got a lot of following, whether that be affiliation with Paddy, Molly, everybody that's in Next Gen. Cash in while you can, man. Stick him in the fucking big show. Let's see what happens with this dude. Because, like I say, every time I watch him, I'm like, what is this guy? He's super, super entertaining. I actually thought at the weekend, away from the fight that I saw in 2023 with him, when it was like, he's going to get nailed here in a minute, and then all of a sudden he pulls it out of the bag. I actually thought he was really good. Like you say, every now and again, he'll slip and he'll just turn it into a fight through his own thirst for blood. But I think it's a large percentage of it. It was just him looking really, really good. I was going to ask you a question, actually. What did they say about him at Next Gen? How highly do they rate him? Is he one of the guys that they believe that he's going to go on to massive things?
Yeah, I think so. I think, listen, there's the problem with Next Gen is when you go down, look at those mats, they're so deep. You know, they've got a kid in the next season of Tough, and you know, they've got so much talent on those mats that it's impossible just to pick one out, because you don't know how kids are going to evolve and react. He's always been in the conversation whenever I've spoke to people at Next Gen about who the next generation is. His name has always popped up. But his name pops up with a smile. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, don't forget we got Adam over there, we've got this guy over there, we've got that guy there, and of course, Luke. And it's like that kind of attitude of course, Luke. Mr. Entertainment, Mr. I'll throw down with anybody, anywhere, anytime, and turn it into a fight of the year contender. Obviously, from the outside looking in, you think there's got to be a limitation on that. You can't just fight like that forever. But fucking Justin Gaethje's made a career out of fighting like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Gaethje's always been a highlight reel. Oh, well, yeah, well, yeah. In the UFC, that's different. No. He was in fight of the year contenders outside of the UFC.
That's why
he came into the UFC and continued to fight that way. So I wouldn't expect him suddenly, Luke Riley, to completely change his style. This is who Luke Riley is. This is how he fights. And not everybody's built the same way. Not everybody has the same denseness of skull or thickness or whatever or power.
I thought you were just going to say denseness of mentality, because let's be honest, right? He was pissing that fight for large percentages of it because he's
a showman.
Yeah, but he's got elite skill. And you're thinking to yourself, mate, this is a real development from the fight of the year that I was watching last year. What are you doing now? Why are you doing that? You're just having a scrap with him. Yeah. Stop doing that. I'll show you my skills again. Shows off his skills. You're thinking, all right, okay, he just had a little bit of a lapse. Nope, he's doing it again.
Here we go.
Mate, it's great.
Exactly. It's great. And had he not done that, had he coasted his way to a point,
I probably wouldn't have brought him up, if I'm honest. Yeah, I probably
we wouldn't even be talking about him right now. We wouldn't even be talking about the Cage Warriors event from the weekend right now. And again, you're right. I was going to go. That was my plan, was to go. But obviously I got sick. But the Luke Riley, I'm glad you brought it up. That completely and utterly justifies a conversation about that entire event because of the way he fights, because of the way he turns it on. And he gives you something. As a fight fan, that's what you want, isn't it? You want to go to an event, you want to pay your money, and you want to come away with something to go, wow, I seen that guy. I seen him do that. And Luke Riley consistently delivers that every single fight. Is he the most talented grappler? Is he the most talented striker? Is he the most talented of all this? I don't know. But you know, as a live entertainment prize fighter, he's fucking Luke Riley's got it. He's got it. He's got the X factor.
He has, man. He's mad as a fucking box of frogs, but he's got summer, hasn't he? So he's so watchable. He's so watchable. And then, like, you watch his post, fight interviews, and you're like, I like you as well, man. You're an absolute lunatic. I like it. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in on the train. Yeah. And I'm sure anybody that tuned into Cage Warriors on Saturday night, wasn't it, in Manchester, then you'd have been in on the train as well. I saw that there was actually the Who's Who was there. Big Tom, he rocked up. Oh, yeah. As if we'd not mentioned Big Tom putting his hands on Jones. Woo-hoo-hoo! What are you doing, Big Tom, eh? I like that. I kind of liked it. However, my conclusions are this. For those that haven't seen this, the Arnold Classic or whatever it is, it's a weightlifting bodybuilding expo in Birmingham. They have obviously loads of different outlets. Tom's sponsored by one. John Jones is sponsored by other. Loads of people turn up to these things. And Tom has gone to see John Jones, let's just say, just gone to go and see him. And Tom's being Tom. Incredibly polite, just a normal down-to-earth fella. They have an handshake, they have a little bit of a picture together and all that type of stuff. And obviously it's gone viral. Loads of people have gone, oh, this is the fight, this is what we want to see, blah, 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 and all this type of stuff. But if you actually listen to the exchange, if you listen to the words that are said, if you listen to the back and forth between the two fighters, I am now even more convinced than ever that John Jones, Tom Aspinall will never happen. And I know that rains on everybody's parade. I know it does.
Yeah.
But that meeting confirms to me Jones is never fighting Tom Aspinall. It's just not happening.
What gives you that feeling, dude?
I just think you, to get John Jones in the octagon, you've got to play to his ego a bit. You have to play to his ego. Tom is incredibly respectful. He's gone over. He's been respectful. They've shook hands. They've said nice things to each other. Maybe one day, maybe one day, maybe one day. That day ain't going to happen. If Tom goes over and he's not himself here, let's say Tom goes over and goes full Colby Covington. He goes over and he's booting chairs. He's causing mayhem. Security's all over the gaff. He calls John Jones a pussy. Say, why are you fighting me, man? Why are you messing about with Stipe? I'm the guy. I'm the interim champion. You're the champion. That's what should be happening next. When you're fit and healthy, you should be fighting me, not fighting somebody like Stipe Miocic, who hasn't won a fight in 3 years. Right? That's what he should. That's what. If he does that, the hierarchy of the UFC then start to get interested. They start to go, oh, hang on a minute. Jeez, look at the pop of this on social media. But it's not Tom's nature. I don't expect Tom to behave like that. Goes over, he shows his respect, John shows his respect back. It's a respectful moment. We're all going in different directions. I am not convinced at all that that fight will ever happen. I actually think that that interaction dilutes it further.
For fuck's sake. Yeah. I don't know. He's a weird one, John. He's a weird guy.
If you play to his ego and you doubt, like, he's the only fighter ever that entertains the conversation about greatest of all time. Loads of fighters are in the conversation. GSP's in it. Habib's in it. All the Demetrius Johnson, these fighters are in it.
He instigates
the conversation. He's obsessed with it. He's obsessed with that conversation of greatest of all time. And that's cool if he believes that and he wants that conversation. That's cool. I've no problem with that.
Yeah,
but that talks to me that's a guy in here. It's an ego thing. I'm the man. So if you want to get him to dance with you, you play to that. You make others, the noise out there, you make them believe. He don't want it. He don't want Tom Aspinall. He don't believe he can beat Tom Aspinall. You make that noise as loud as you possibly can. That's what you do. And then John might then go, fuck you. I'll show you lot. That's how you get into dance. I think by being respectful and saying, yeah, man, you are the GOAT. I want a chance to dance with the GOAT. You haven't earned the chance. You haven't earned the chance to be on my level yet, mate. Go and beat five or six. Go and beat five or six, and then maybe. By the time Tom's beaten five or six, John's retired, man. Done.
Yeah. It's a weird one because, again, John is an unusual guy, John Jones. And the... It's hard to predict what he's going to do or how he's going to react to something. What I thought was quite telling was when Tom did that thing which Tom likes to do, and that's put his hand out to shake it and then put his hand on his shoulder.
Measure range. He measures his range, doesn't he?
Just like, boom. And John Jones just went, woof, straight away. Just went, nope, that ain't happening. Don't get physical with me, son. And that was an unusual little exchange there because, you know, we've seen that in the last fight with Pavlovich, that he put his hand on his shoulder and Pavlovich kind of went, okay, I'll put my hand on your shoulder then. It was like a weird, like, crossover hug thing. Whereas John Jones just went, get the fuck off me. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'll be cordial, but don't be touching me, son. Whereas maybe that was the moment for something to bite back. I don't know. I, unlike you, I refuse to give up on it. I don't believe that is necessarily the end of it. I still think John Jones has an ego big enough that regardless of that confrontation, I think the manner in which he beats Stipe is going to be so one-sided because Stipe is literally off the couch that I don't think fight fans are going to accept him going, yeah, there you go, done Stipe, the most successful ever, see you later. I think fans and media will be like, come on, John, that can't be your final fight. We all know Stipe wasn't in any condition anyway. He's been retired for 4 years. There's a guy right there. If you beat that guy, there's no conversation, is there?
But that's what I mean about playing to ego. That has to get loud. That noise has to be loud to the point where people are going, what are you talking about? Why are you not fighting Tom Aspinall? He's the guy.
Yeah, and it will. It will. I don't know whether Tom being super aggressive with John Jones might have gone the other way. Whereas John Jones, like, oh, you just embarrassed me, have you? Because I'm in your hometown. Well, fuck you. You ain't ever going to shot at me. Whereas maybe it was better to be yeah, man, cool. Listen, you're the GOAT. One day we get to dance, that'd be great. Like, okay, he's all right, him. Yeah, you have sized them up. Nothing there to be worried about.
What? Did you not see the size?
In John Jones' mind.
Okay, yeah.
He's not super aggressive. He's not OTT. He's not going to act like a jerk in the build-up to the fight. You know, he's not going to try and embarrass me and humble. All that extra noise, which the likes of Chael Sonnen brought, he went, oh, I ain't doing Chael Sonnen late notice. I'm not in the right headspace for that guy. Fuck him. Fuck that guy. And walked away from a fight. If the guy, there's a bit more courtesy there and you're not, well, he respects me. Yeah, okay. You know what? All right, Sal, let's do it. I think
look at you.
I think Tom might have played the blinder here.
I hope so, mate. Because there's nothing more that any of us want to see than Tom Aspinall versus John Jones. That is just the fight. That's the fight.
Of course.
That is absolutely the fight in the heavyweight division. I just think playing to that ego is what's required. And whether that is Tom doing that, whether that's media doing that, whether that's fans doing that, they've got to play to that ego in order to get John Jones to think UFC to dance.
Yeah. We want to see John stick around. I want to know. And if John Jones beats Tom Aspinall, conversation over, kids.
Anyway. How did we get to that? Oh, yeah. Tom ended up then going to Cage Warriors, didn't he? He went to Cage Warriors show with, I think, Leon was there, Paddy, Molly. Christian Leroy Duncan, I think, was there as well. Obviously, former Cage Warriors alumni as well. So great to see everybody in attendance watching the fight. There you go. That's us waxing lyrical about MMA on our review show. We'll have a preview show coming up for you. I'm actually going to the Apex this week. Yes. Nami Yunus versus Ribas. Hey, I'm going for the big one. That's it. Yeah. I love watching Rose Nami Yunus fight. I actually love watching Amanda Ribas fight as well. So I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching a fight within the Apex. Mick Parkin's on the show as well, the big boy, taking on Kamaru's brother in Big Mo Usman. That'll be interesting.
Do you reckon that?
Mate, mental. Two big units in that tiny octagon. We've been in the room, but we've never watched fights in that room, have we?
No.
So it's going to be fascinating to experience that. So yeah, looking forward to it. And there's a taffer on the card as well. So I'll be doing all sorts of crazy subcontinent dances at some point in the evening, no doubt, with a taffer. So make sure you come and join me for that. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in to us. Please subscribe. As you can see, there's a red button underneath Nick's window there. Just hit that button. It'll ask you to subscribe to the channel, and you'll never miss out on any of our long-form, short-form fight sports content. You can also subscribe to the audio feed, which is available on our website. That's right, fightdisciples.com. Go there, and it's all there. Spotify, the works. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.